This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. SNAP food benefits are set to run out as a result of the government shutdown. Friday, two federal judges ordered the Trump administration to use supplemental funds to keep the program going, but ABC's Catherine Falder says it's not that simple.
But it's unclear how quickly food stamps would actually reach those millions of Americans. The administration has argued it's not legally allowed to use the money. But late Friday, President Trump saying he's instructed government attorneys to ask the judge how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. If the court gives direction, the president said, it will be my honor to provide the funding.
Another consequence of the government shutdown, more flight delays. Over 1,000 already today. A growing number of air traffic controllers have called out sick. They've been working without pay. 3 days to Election Day, former President Obama's campaigning with the Democratic candidates for governor in Virginia and New Jersey. And tonight in Toronto, Game 7 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and Dodgers. This is ABC News. The FDA said it's no longer recommending fluoride supplements for children younger than 3 and those kids who are older but don't face serious risks of tooth decay. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy has said these products pose health risks. This recommendation does not affect products like toothpaste. Sources tell ABC News that at least 2 people were arrested after the FBI says it thwarted a terror plot in Michigan.
FBI Director Kash Patel saying on social media the alleged plot was, quote, tied to international terrorism, adding the suspects were allegedly plotting a violent attack over Halloween weekend. Sources now telling us that at least 2 individuals have been arrested, 3 more taken in for questioning, all of them between the ages of just 16 and 20.
9 couples got married inside of an Ohio jail. They were not prisoners, but getting married on Halloween in jail. That was a feature offered by county officials in Delaware, Ohio, for Halloween. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. 9 Head Start locations in Wisconsin are preparing to close their doors on Monday because of the federal government shutdown. The Head Start program provides child care, preschool, and support for about 15,000 children across Wisconsin. It gives low-income families early education, but also things like health screenings, dental care, and support to connect them with resources like food benefits or job training.
They're predominantly working families, working in the retail sector. They're working in hospitality. They're working in our hospital. So they're a part of the foundation of our economy. Head Start is a critical part of our state and our community's infrastructure.
That's Jenny Maurer, the executive director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association. The program is largely funded by the federal government. And because of the federal shutdown, 2 organizations that run Head Start in their communities are not getting their funding. The Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program operates 9 locations in Grant, Greene, Iowa, Lafayette, and Richland counties. Without money to pay their bills and their staff, those 9 centers close Monday, leaving kids without their safe place to grow and learn, and leaving their parents scrambling.
Parents do their best to find safe places for their children, but we know that what often ends up happening is that children are shuttled between lots of different care situations, and that oftentimes children get watched by other children. Families get increasingly desperate when they're trying to make things work.
The Head Start program in Sheboygan will continue for 2 more weeks, but will likely close after the 14th. That would leave a total of nearly 400 children without care in Wisconsin. And if the shutdown continues in December, 1,000 more could lose their Head Start programs. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some scattered showers possible today, a high near 45. Becoming mostly clear tonight, a low around 27. Mostly sunny, a high near 51 on Sunday. Another chance of rain Sunday night with a low near 39. Monday, sunshine with a high near 57.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome filmmaker Doug Prey and actor from Chicago PD, Joel Murray. Great guests to kick off a new week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. The hostess with the mostest, Danielle Fairman, has the week off, but that's all right. Ellie Lawton, the chefferie, the chef of the show, the outstanding award-winning culinarian of Raised in Wisco, is filling in while Danielle has the week off.
And that's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure because Danielle and I, we've been doing this a long time
I'm
together.
I'm super nervous.
Nothing makes you nervous. Nothing throws you for a loop, I have learned. I don't know of anything that really throws you for a loop.
I have thick skin, and that's not just because I'm a little fat.
Yeah, well, life in politics will give you thick skin, too. I have thick skin and thick fat under it, so I got a double whammy layer.
Look at you go.
Look at me go, man. Try to stop me. We have an awesome show tonight. I'm pretty excited because this is the time of year that hunters, anglers, outdoors folks live for in Wisconsin. Not only do we have the beautiful changing of the leaves, I mean,
yes, so beautiful.
And I want to talk a little bit today about like what everybody's favorite tree is that changes. I'm just going to take maple right off the bat. I'm going to
say mine. Maple.
Well, that's just because they have the most colors, right?
I'll come up with something else.
Yeah, you just don't say oak. They just turn brown and fall.
Oh,
off.
Oak.
Yeah, oaks are horrible.
Oh, shoot.
Oaks are for me.
Why would you say that?
Because they have acorns and the deer are going to come underneath there. And,
yes.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. And you know what else eats acorns, like by the bushels, is wild hogs, wood ducks.
Squirrels.
Squirrels and something else. Bears. Bears like acorns, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your hats, hold on to your seats and your hats, because the voice of mystery that you are hearing is not only one of the greatest outdoors folks I know, but also part of the new generation of hunters and fishermen who is coming up. And this guy, our guest tonight, I'm very proud to have known him for quite a while. He's married, he's and his wife supports doing the outdoor stuff and is learning the outdoor stuff with him. She is part of the fastest growing group of new hunters, which
women.
She's coming. She's coming. She's
Is she really?
She's maybe. Working. Maybe. I'm working on it.
Okay, because I feel a little outnumbered here, but I think I can handle it.
Oh, boy. One show, and Ellie's got more men here than women, and they can't beat up on me.
I can make you all cry.
That's a fact. I don't doubt that for 1 minute.
Except Noah. I wouldn't make him cry.
I think it's probably hard to make Noah cry. But then why would you want to make
Noah cry? Noah's too happy.
He's like the nicest guy you've ever met.
Yeah, no kidding.
The voice you're hearing, though, is a young man who has a lifetime of outdoor experiences behind him already, and that's why he's on the show, Cal Hadia. And I want to talk to you. Your dad, Eric Hadia, is a very, very well-known outdoorsman in the state of Wisconsin. He's done TV. He's done radio. He's done blogs back when blogs started. He's done podcasts. Your dad is kind of a preeminent name in the outdoors in the state of Wisconsin for hunting, for fishing, more for fishing, I would say.
Probably. Yeah, most definitely.
And he, and you're his son. And I want to kind of get into in during the show today, you know, if that's a little tough, if that's hard to follow the name of someone with such credibility in the business and the industry. Yeah. I am blessed with daughters, so they don't have to worry about, you know, their dad in the hunting. They're not really in the hunting industry. But a lot of the things that your dad is known for, being a phenomenal fisherman, a phenomenal hunter, did that, Cal, and how old are you now, Cal?
24.
You're 24 yep. years old. So you're a youngster. You're like on the cusp of millennial and Gen Z. And you are, you and I have hunted together. You're 24. We've hunted together a good 8 years probably.
Yeah, it's been a long
16,
time now.
17 years old.
Yeah, it's been a while now.
Yeah, I've watched you grow up. But you've always been someone who's taken the outdoors seriously. You were really into waterfowl hunting. Yeah. And then you kind of moved into the whitetail. A lot of waterfowlers start out because it's exciting. You got to get to kill more stuff. Yeah. Then you moved into the whitetail arena, which is kind of a different, it's a different draw. Because once you start learning patience, you know, the evolution of a hunter, you start out, you just want to kill stuff and take it home and eat it. Yeah. Once you get past that, you know, what was the transition for you? When we met in a goose field, a goose hunting field, and we hunted waterfowl every chance we got, and you kind of started drifting from that. What was that transition?
You know, I can't think of, well, there's a lot of reasons, honestly. So not only, you know, my dad was never super big into waterfowl. So like that's part of the, you know, honestly, part of the reason why I got super, super, super into it because I didn't have a lot of exposure from that when I was a kid. And then...
So was it a little bit, I mean, I don't want to say rebellious, but a little bit like, hey, my dad's really well known for these things. I'm going to try something different in the same arena?
Big time. So my big thing when I was, you know, like when I was a younger adult, I guess I should say.
Yeah, you're still a young adult. Don't rub it in.
I'm a young adult too.
Yeah. Whatever you say.
I just didn't want to be in a shadow, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
That makes sense.
I didn't want to be in a shadow for a long time.
Well, and your dad excelled, and I could see why you wouldn't want to be in that, I guess, shadow, right? You want to do waterfowl. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a big shadow for a long time until, you know, up until recently, you know.
You hear that a lot. You hear that a lot when people have quasi-famous, regionally famous, you know, parents that the children don't want to be in the shadow, but there are also benefits to
no
being
doubt.
In the shadow, right?
100%.
How did you balance that? And what did you see as some of the benefits? Cause I know your dad, I think he's a great guy, phenomenal outdoorsman, very ethical, successful outdoorsman. And so I mean, there were moments where even though we're about the same age, I looked up to him in the way he conducted himself and the yep. success he had. So how did you balance that? And what were the positives of that? And what were, you know, the things you kind of pushed against?
There's so many positives. So there's way more positives than negatives. For example, like meeting tons of different people, making great connections mm-hmm. that I still talk to this day, you know, transferring that to deer, ducks, turkeys, whatever, you know, anything like the whole industry. It's all kind of like one big thing that, you know, it's nice to, that he got me into the industry pretty much for the most part. And,
did you grow up hunting and fishing with your dad?
I did grow up hunting and fishing with my dad. And, you know, I'm very blessed cause I've had, you know, due to the fact that he is a guide and, you know, it's his full-time job. I've gotten to experience so many just out of this world fishing experiences. And he's taught me, you know, everything I know when it comes to fishing, a lot, 90% of the stuff I know when it comes to hunting. And then when I was around 12 or so, I started getting into the waterfowl stuff. And that kind of took off from there. But
you were raised with the huge network that we all want as hunters
time.
And anglers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I am very, very blessed, you know, and now I'm kind of transitioning back into that fishing phase a little bit more, you know, the real world hits a little bit. And then, you know, I see, you know, my dad, he's fishing every day. You know, he's doing what he loves, and I've gravitated more towards that lately. So hopefully, I'm hoping that someday I can make that my full-time gig too. I'm trying to transfer into that slowly.
Oh, that's incredible.
But
yeah, so I've seen, you know, I got to know you in the waterfowl, if you want to call it your waterfowl phase.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if you got this from your dad or not, but you're one of those people. I mean, there are waterfowlers who are the ones who are the most successful waterfowlers. I always say there's three tiers of waterfowlers. There's those who will scout and aren't afraid to ask permissions. There's those who own the equipment. And then there's, and so you've got your permission askers, you've got your people who own the equipment, and then on the third tier, you've got the grunts, the guys, the men and women who will show up just to haul decoys out of the trailer, and they want to be invited everywhere. And in that third tier, they kind of move in and out of groups, because if in waterfowl, it's kind of like a club or a fraternity of men and women who all contribute to it. And those who don't end up contributing, they kind of end up falling to the wayside a little bit. But you have always been in that top tier of people who have not been afraid to ask permissions, not been afraid to scout, not been afraid to spend your money, which is tough to come by as a young adult, on the best decoys and the best fields and the best places to go. I mean, you were into it wholeheartedly. You started guiding
it. Big time, even. Yeah.
So when you're into it that much to that level, to someone like me, I start relying on the other people in the network who will scout, who will work on getting permissions, because you're inviting each other on hunts. And when you started to drift from that, that was tough. So what drew you from that into those other things? Because we see the evolution of hunters very often from waterfowl to whitetail or to big game or to other types of hunting.
You know, I think one of the big things is, you know, the waterfowl game is no joke. You know, it's a lot of work. And if you're going to be a waterfowl hunter in the fall, you're going to be a waterfowl hunter and that's it for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
you're
going to spend most of your time, because scouting and everything else, it just takes up so much time.
Yeah, it's another job.
So on top of that, you know, I don't know what it is about being in a tree stand. It just brings me closer to God. I don't know.
Ha. I love that.
Well, I don't think there's really a better answer to that. And
yeah.
I think sometimes the reason that whitetail, I love whitetail hunting. I mean, I want to be clear about it. But it, to me, the allure to me, and I love whitetail hunting. The allure of the waterfowl hunt and chase and the turkey hunt and chase is you can, number one, you can talk with your friends when you're out there in between things, and you have more opportunities, literally more opportunities to put meat in the freezer when you waterfowl.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
And I want to talk, you know, I want to start getting into like the patience aspect of it. And the reason we're going to do our weekly WISCOs real quick, and I'm going to start with Cal because I already know what his is. And we're going to break down the science of how he attacks it. And I'm going to try to get him to tell some secrets. But we're going to, so let's hear, what is your weekly WISCO? What's your big thing that happened?
So on last week, Thursday, I shot, you know, one of the biggest bucks I've ever killed with the bow.
Wow.
Yes. And it is also one of the biggest bucks you killed, because last year was also one of the biggest bucks you ever killed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And there are so few people who do that consistently. And you at 24 years old are already someone who does, which is a virtual impossibility when it comes to killing big whitetail. I have been a whitetail hunter for 17 years. I do not have a whitetail as big as any of yours that are one of the biggest ones you've killed. So I want to get into the science. You know, we've had Paul House on the show before, who is an expert, literally an expert whitetail hunter. And I'm really excited about this because we got our weekly WISCOs coming up. We've got the recipe of the week coming up, that's for sure. But we're going to talk with Cal Hadia more about his love for whitetail, his huge success last week, and the season to come. This is Race in WISCO. Yeah.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm jamming out. If you're watching on Facebook or watching us live, you can see me jam out.
We're sorry.
Yeah, sorry. My apologies about that. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Co-host Danielle Fairman has the week off, and this is when I would ask her where she can catch the show if she doesn't catch it live. We are on 25 Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin, now into Michigan and Minnesota. Welcome to our new stations, and I'm told you can hear us in Illinois as well.
Yes, so you certainly can.
Even the, I can't say Flatlanders, can I? Is that a negative term?
I'm fine with it, but you have to ask Jacob.
Jacob, can we say Flatlanders?
I'm highly offended, Joel. I'm
very
upset.
I don't buy that for a second. Jacob,
I don't think Jacob really gets offended.
Jacob runs the joint. I would never be sarcastic.
Well, just for the folks listening and for everybody out there who's just tuning into the show for the first time, we love having you. This is a show about the outdoors of Wisconsin. Yes, we talk a lot of hunting. We talk a lot of fishing. We talk about kayaking, mountain climbing, camping. Anything you can do in Wisconsin, which is the greatest outdoor state in the country, is what Raised in Wisco is about, because we talk about what you can take from Wisconsin's resources, their renewable resources, and make taste amazing and put on the table. That's why we're so fortunate to have the culinarian official French chef Ellie Lawton as part of the show.
And big appetites.
And I think I do weigh probably close to 8 to 10 pounds more than before Chef Lawton started
bringing food.
And Noah, our in-house producer here, Noah Morris, how are you doing today?
Great.
Noah?
Yeah.
Rocking and rolling?
Noah, have you gained weight since you met me?
Yes.
No.
I don't think I've gained a single pound since high school, to be honest. I'm not even kidding.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. That will end someday, Noah.
Well, we love
it.
We, We love having you know. We love having our listeners. And if you're new to Raised in Wisco, go to our Facebook page, Raised in Wisco.
Oh, yeah.
Follow us. Ask us questions. We even picked one of our most fervid guests, Gary Fluitt, and put him on the show
last
week.
Hey, Gary. Shout out to Gary.
He had a great time. He posted about it on his personal Facebook, I saw. And it's great to have loyal listeners. And we hear from you. I hear from you mostly at gas stations because that's about the only place I go is gas stations.
Hang out at gas stations a lot?
I don't hang out at gas stations or truck stops.
You just
stops, for that
lurk
matter.
Around until someone talks to you?
Noah.
Yeah, that's creepy. Noah's, you're right,
oh
Noah.
Oh, my God. I'm in trouble if Noah's calling me creepy.
It is a
I do not hang out at gas stations.
I've seen you hanging out at one before. I just hit the gas and kept going.
If I'm not at a gas station filling up, I'm on my way to the woods or the fields or the waterways of Wisconsin. That's a fact. You can hear us on Raised in Wisco live Saturdays at 11 o'clock on any one of the 25 civic media stations. And if you don't catch us live, Chef Lawton, where can you catch us?
If you miss us on Saturday, you can go to Spotify, search Raised in Wisco. You can go to civicmedia.us. Again, search Raised in Wisco. You can catch us on YouTube. And like Joel said, head over to our Facebook page. Give us a like. Tag us in your hunting, fishing, hiking pictures. Leave us some recipes. Chat with us. We'll chat back.
Yeah, so do that. And remember, I'm kind of old school, so I just put in a Google search, Raised in Wisco, and it comes right up.
Yeah.
So if you can't hear us live, definitely go and listen to the podcast version of the show. We were in our weekly Wiscos, and we've got guest Cal Hadia with us. He does an amazing job in the outdoors. He's a professional. He's a professional outdoorsman because you have been a paid guide. Yes. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I guess you can say that. Yeah.
It's fair to say that. And Cal capitalized before the rut on a monster buck and shot a monster buck, and that was his weekly Wisco. I cannot deny that.
We're going to post a picture on our Facebook page
so
everyone
can
see.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get Raised in Wisco. We'll have Cal Hadia's monster buck. And I noticed you even have a tattoo of antlers on your hand.
Sheds.
I love it.
Yep.
Wow. You are committed. I will give you that. I do not
all
have
about
a
it.
Tattoo. You are. And you're about to start a family. And is this new little one going to be a hunter, angler?
Well, Joel, his name is Fisher.
Oh my gosh. Goodness.
That is what I am naming my son.
Fisher, love that.
I love it. That's after Clayfish, right?
Whatever makes you happy.
I feel like maybe it's not.
There's no C in there, so it's a little different.
I feel like maybe you're right. It's probably not.
That is so cute.
We left off on Raised on our weekly Wiscos, and I think we all have one. Chef Lawton, do you have one for us?
I do have one. I wish Cal would have gone last because mine's just pathetic.
What? Why?
Well, because he got this awesome buck, and I just went out and tried to hunt another turkey, and those darn turkeys.
You didn't have luck. Well, hey, you can't.
It was still a great evening in the woods.
Wait a minute. Yeah, okay.
What?
That was the week before that you killed the giant turkey?
Yeah.
At your parents' farm?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that counts still, I think. That
I want more turkey in my freezer.
Yes, I love eating turkey.
It's so good.
My weekly Wisco was actually indoors. As a matter of fact, my weekly Wisco was I brought wild turkey soup to the folks at Opportunities Incorporated, the A-Team members, the folks who have at the Disability Work Center there.
Oh,
and
I bet they loved it.
I had an amazing time, and so did they, and
I hope you're going to share your recipe today.
I am not going to share my recipe today because you're the recipe. I can't if you
want. Oh, I'm going to share my recipe.
Noah, what's your weekly Wisco?
I spent most of Saturday outside. We were at the state marching band competition in Whitewater.
Oh, wow.
So my wife is the coach for the Color Guard, so that's why I was there.
Shout out to Lynn for coaching the Color Guard. Was Phantom Regiment there?
I do not know that.
Phantom Regiment,
I don't know,
from Rockford, Illinois is amazing, but we've got some good ones here too. Jacob, do you have a weekly Wisco?
Yeah, I was mostly hanging out at gas stations, watching a little Maria Menounos on the gas station TV, and had a good time overall. I mean, a lot of fun in Wisconsin.
You were waiting for Joel to show up.
I deserve that, I guess. I think I deserve
it. I just want to spend more time with my boss outside of work. I want to develop that relationship.
Yeah, I think it's going great, and we're thrilled to have you. I can't wait to talk with Cal Hadia, expert outdoorsman, about his massive buck kill, what the secrets are to getting where he needs to get to put that deer where you need it, because we're about to hit the rut and things are getting hot and heavy. This is Raised in Wisco.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
From Richland Center City Hall to Madison, stay informed with Civic Media's Radio Network's news team. Learn more at WRCE.fm.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. SNAP food benefits are set to run out as a result of the government shutdown. Friday, two federal judges ordered the Trump administration to use supplemental funds to keep the program going, but ABC's Catherine Falter says it's not that simple.
But it's unclear how quickly food stamps would actually reach those millions of Americans. The administration has argued it's not legally allowed to use the money. But late Friday, President Trump saying he's instructed government attorneys to ask the judge how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. If the court gives direction, the president said, it will be my honor to provide the funding.
Another consequence of the government shutdown, more flight delays. Over 1,000 already today. A growing number of air traffic controllers have called out sick. They've been working without pay. 3 days to Election Day, former President Obama's campaigning with the Democratic candidates for governor in Virginia and New Jersey. And tonight in Toronto, Game 7 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and Dodgers. This is ABC News.
Badgers winning streak comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team losing on the road in Minnesota last night 5-1. That snapped a 23-game winning streak for Wisconsin. Baseball, Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 3-1 last night thanks to a dramatic double play to end the game in the bottom of the ninth. Game 7 coming up tonight. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We're going to leave it out there. I don't think that the pressure, the moment's going to be too big for us. We got to go out there and win one baseball game. We've done that all year. Everyone's bought in. And so I don't know how the game's going to play out. But as far as kind of the moment, winning a game, I couldn't be more excited.
Blue Jays manager John Schneider on the final game of the season being played in Toronto.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 hours of mayhem and great baseball. These guys are going to be ready for it. Hopefully they get to slow some things down, but enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's Game 7 of the World Series at your home stadium. I mean, what the hell else do you want?
That's the Blue Jays manager John Schneider with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There are long TV runs for half-hour shows, and then there are long TV runs for animated half-hour shows. The Simpsons has been on for 37 seasons and counting, and Family Guy has been on for 23. King of the Hill is no slouch either, as it was just renewed for 2 more seasons, which will bring it to 16. King of the Hill did have a long hiatus, but is back with a vengeance. You can check it out on Hulu. The Paramount Skydance merger has wreaked havoc on the entertainment business, first by laying off a popular talk show host, and now the company has announced it will trim about 10% of its workforce. The Hollywood Reporter reports that 2,000 employees will lose their jobs at the company. Roughly 1,000 people have already been laid off as of October 29th, and another 1,000 are expected to be let go in the near future. With all that money being freed up, maybe they could keep Stephen Colbert around. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Know what's happening in your community, across Wisconsin, and around the nation, over the air and on the web, all right here on WRCE Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some scattered showers possible today, a high near 45. Becoming mostly clear tonight, a low around 27. Mostly sunny, a high near 51 on Sunday. Another chance of rain Sunday night with a low near 39. Monday, sunshine with a high near 57.
Right now, it's 41.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. We start off the month of November with our friend and colleague, the host of Matt Nair On Air, Jane Matt Nair, looking back at the weekend headlines and ahead to the future. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in Wisco. Have we got an exciting show going? I'm telling you, Cal Hadia is here, professional sportsman and somebody who is amazing to me because I just do not understand how to consistently kill white-tailed deer. I think it's patience, but I know it's a lot more than patience that matters. My name's Joel Clayfish. I have the distinct honor and privilege of hosting this show. Danielle Fairman, our co-host of this show, has the week off. Ellie Lawton, our chefferie, our official culinarian of Raised in Wisco, is filling in the co-host seat.
Hi.
Has it been any different? Is it any different for you filling in as co-host versus just being the chef?
No.
Okay.
Zero.
Well then,
I mean, so far.
Well, then I think
I've done it a few times. And it kind of felt the
maybe
same.
Maybe I have done a bad job as host if it doesn't feel any different co-hosting the show or being the chef. I don't know. That's why I asked.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll look for more tips at the gas station next time I show up.
Okay. I'm never going to live that one down. Look, if I'm not in a field or in the woods, I'm usually the only place you'll see me is getting gasoline.
Listen,
why
Cal,
is that so
Cal
weird?
And I were talking on the break, and we cracked the code to killing the big whitetail bucks.
Why would you do that during the break and not on the show?
Well, we discovered if you spend less time at the gas station, you can spend more time in the woods.
There we go. Perfect. If you don't spend any time at a gas station. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for loving Quick Trips.
Oh,
see?
Hard to beat.
Yeah.
Hard to beat
I mean, trips. That's kind of the place
Although,
to be.
I do have a pretty cool hat from Bucky's. I really do.
But they're not in Wisconsin. Cool.
They're lost in Bucky's.
They're going to be soon.
You can get
lost. Right. You can get lost in Bucky's.
I can see why you'd spend a lot of time there.
You can get lost and spend all of your money.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I am in trouble. Now, I don't have Danielle and Ellie teaming up on me to beat up, so Noah's jumping in.
Noah,
now.
Thank you for stepping up.
Oh, my gosh.
Appreciate the support.
All right, Cal, you got to have my back, brother.
I'm just here, man.
Cal's I'm neutral.
Yeah.
Cal is Switzerland.
I'm just here to listen.
No, you're here to tell us about your big buck story.
So let's talk. I kind of want to talk, and I don't mean to get into the minutiae or into the weeds here for folks who are not, you know, significant deer hunters, but this is the time of the year.
Big time.
This is the time that everybody who is a deer hunter, and I want to remind folks, we have the Orange Army in Wisconsin, 600,000 Wisconsinites.
Yes.
That's more than many, many countries have in their whole country. We have 600,000 Wisconsinites who hit the woods to harvest the 30-point buck.
Yeah, it's a holiday.
Crazy.
It is like a holiday.
It really is.
It's a religion. It, you name it.
I mean, people take their kids out of school for opening.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. My dad always used to when I was a kid.
That's cool.
And I don't have a problem with that, to be honest.
I don't either.
I think it's fine. I mean, you're getting an education. You're spending time with family.
Yeah.
Friends.
Outside. Fresh air.
So you harvested, I mean, let's just say, I mean, you're harvesting bucks in the 140, 150 class. Big deer.
Yeah.
Big deer. And you got one last year, and you got another one this year. I want to know, what is the difference that you... as a hunter, and I, you know, we explored this with Paul House, who's a great hunter. I want to know what is the difference between a deer hunter like me who sits out every year for 17 years, and I have one buck on my wall that I shot opening day of gun season, but I bow hunt deer. What is the difference between the novice deer hunter and somebody like you who can do this consistently?
Consistency.
Well, but to tell me about that consistency.
So, like... earlier in the year, like my deer season starts for me in like early summer, between like putting food plots in, you know, taking care of stands and hanging cameras. So the biggest and most important thing that, you know, I'm not going to play it down at all. I think that 100% without a doubt, there is no way I would have killed any of the deer I've killed without cell cameras.
Really?
Yeah. Not a chance.
Has that changed the game? I mean, has that completely 100%. Changed the game?
100%. But some people rely on them a little too much.
I was going to say, is it unfair? Do some people rely on them too much, and is it unfair?
You still got to outsmart a big animal. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be really, really, like those 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old deer can be really unpredictable. And, you know, they don't get big like that by being dumb, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, there's a reason why they're big and old.
What are you doing in June and July? You say you start in June and July. What on earth are you doing?
Every year is a little bit different for me because sometimes I get a little later start than others. But like I said, I typically put in food plots and stuff like that. And a huge thing for me is...
Talk to me about the food plots. When are you tilling? What are you planting?
So I'm relatively new to the food plot game, to be honest with you. Planting like brassica, sugar beets, oats, rye, stuff like that. Just kind of a big blend.
What is your thought as to why you're planting those species of plants?
Because I want something for before first frost and then after first frost and then, you know, all the way to late season. I want something that they're going to be hitting throughout the whole entire season. So, like, that's why I put, like, the oats and rye in there. And the sugar beets, they'll dig them up late season when the snow hits, too, for, you know, extra nutrition and stuff like that. But the main thing I'm looking for early in the year is acorns.
Okay.
And white oaks in particular.
White oaks in particular.
Yeah.
So when you go into the woods and you've got an area, I mean, are you knocking on doors? Do you have some private property? I want you to teach those of us out there who are not phenomenal whitetail hunters the steps you're going through and the extent you're going through to make this a successful hunt every year.
So the other most important thing is permission, different properties, mm-hmm. different deer to hunt. So you're not pressuring, you know, pressure is a huge thing. I think that's one of the top five most important things of all time. If you're over pressuring a mature deer, you're going to blow him out. And he's not coming back.
When you say over pressuring, what do you mean?
What I mean by that is, like, if you're going in there on the wrong wind and you're not being super quiet when you're walking in there and not, you just have to hunt smart. Hunting smarter, you know, you hunt a little bit less, but you have better odds. So, like, I've noticed in the past several years, like, the less I'm in there, you know, until the conditions are right, you know, you have much better odds for when they do come because they feel super comfortable in there. There's no predators chasing after them. Like the
nothing
only thing
unusual
they,
happening.
Yeah, the only thing they have to worry about is, you know, the farmers or coyotes.
Mm-hmm. So what do you look, are you saying this is like takes daily work? I mean, you looking at cameras daily, checking weather patterns daily, checking wind daily?
Yeah, wind, once season comes around for sure. So I have all the cameras I have are all cell cameras, so they just send all the pictures right to my phone. So that helps a lot.
Yes.
You know, it's not like the old school days where you have to go in and check your cameras. Yeah, every day. Man, that changed everything like big time because then you're not going in there, putting your scent in there, you know, all that extra pressure.
Or you go in there and the batteries are dead in your camera.
Yeah.
And you don't have any pictures. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a big deal.
That was fun.
So how do you decide what days you're going to hunt? I mean, you work. You work another job as well. You're not just... Nobody's paying you thousands of dollars to hunt deer.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I wish.
Not yet, right?
I wish, yeah.
Well, you keep this up and somebody will, I'll tell you that.
I hope so, one day.
So you're looking every day to see how do you, on this particular day, you shot this huge buck, and we're going to post the pictures on Raised in Wisco Facebook page. How did you decide to hunt this deer?
So from early season all the way until the beginning of October, I kind of use my cameras because I have them in like different, so I have some in bedding, I have some in transition, some in food. And then like this time of year, which is super important around acorns, like I was saying before. And the tree that I shot this one at is kind of a spot where they just come through, they browse around on the acorns and some of the other brush in the area and then work their way into the alfalfa. So, I get a trail cam history of like patterns. So like early October is like the best time, I, in my opinion, to pattern a big deer.
Because they're not chasing.
Does. Yeah.
They're not in the rut yet. And for those who don't, you know, who are learning about this, the rut is the breeding period, and that's when the bucks are literally chasing does to breed with them.
Yeah, and they'll go miles and miles and miles. So, like, I think
this is kind of the calm before the storm.
Yeah, big time. I mean, once the rut hits, you know, that's anyone's deer. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question. Because you pattern these deer so often. This year, we had a warmer September and beginning of October. So did you notice that those patterns were drastically different, or did you not really see a big difference?
It was easier for me this year. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was all the rain keeping them out of certain areas mm-hmm. on the properties that I hunt. But honestly, like another thing that I was doing early that helped with this deer was, you know, glassing mm-hmm. from my truck.
Yeah.
In the evenings right before dark, I would go out and I would just glass the fields in the areas that I hunt when
you
I could.
Using binoculars to look and see if you could see the deer you were after.
Yep.
Hmm.
Huh. That's incredibly interesting to me.
Well, this makes me feel like a really bad whitetail hunter.
Well, when you hear somebody who makes a science out of it.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I love it.
I can't help but feel like, you know, a not adequate whitetail hunter either. But I also want to stress, you know, and to the audience and to the people listening, that a whitetail hunter is somebody who puts the science into it and this much time into it. It is equally the person who hunts once a year during deer camp and goes out with a rifle and rifle hunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everywhere in between. I just think that it's not coincidental that people say 10% of the hunters kill 90% of the species thereafter. And I stress water when it comes to waterfowl and turkey hunting, scouting, and then when you're done scouting, scout.
Yep.
It's like, and then when you're in the field, you brush in your blind till it's perfect, and then right before you hunt, you brush in your blind more. These are kind of the basic elements, and sometimes don't you think people get a little too caught up in the science of it? And kind of forget some of the basics, like movement and things like that?
I would 100% agree with that. I think some people get too caught up in what they've been told or what's online or what's on the internet. Like the main majority, you know, like the most important things, you got to be out in the woods. You can't shoot them from your couch.
Right.
You know, so.
That is a fact.
I think being in the woods is the best way to learn.
Yeah, and we're going to have you back. We're going to have you back with Paul House, and we're going to talk about the rut coming up one of these days soon, because I think that's a completely different subject, how to hunt a deer during the rut.
For sure.
And that's also a fascinating one to me, because you're literally pulling their attention away from breeding, which is one of the hardest things to do, I think. But back to the listening too much to other people. When I first started turkey hunting, everybody said they don't go to decoys in the fall. They don't come to calls in the fall.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that because I was brand new. So I went out there and put out decoys and called and had this unbelievable turkey success in the fall with calling and putting out decoys. So very often, you know, obviously take what you hear and use it as a portion of how you hunt. Because I think what you said at the end there is the most important thing, and that is you can't be a successful hunter from your couch. Now, you certainly can be a successful eater from your couch.
No doubt about that.
That is very important.
You have
to
be in the kitchen to cook it first.
And at the end of the day, Raised in Wisco is a cooking show. And coming up, we've got an awesome recipe from acclaimed official French chef, Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Matt Nair on air.
The executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. There is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea.
How long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin?
You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
John and Cordy. Now I can charge it any damn time I want. You know, I got a charging station for my EV, my electronic space car, and I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed. A lot of money, but it's done.
It's a stop by, John's.
Yes, house. Stop by. We're charging.
Bring your electric toothbrush. Plug it right in. We'll charge that up.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco's gonna help you with the outdoors of Wisconsin. Love our new guests. We can be heard on all Civic Media stations statewide and now into Minnesota and Michigan. Excited about that. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to host this train wreck. I mean, this fantastic ship of a show. Danielle Fairman helps us steer the course. She's got the week off. And Chef Ellie Lawton is filling in for her. We've got Cal Hadia, awesome sportsman, good friend of mine. Enjoy spending time in the waterfowl woods with you, Cal, quite a bit. But let's make no mistake about it. I love to eat. And part of this show that we love bringing you is fast, easy recipes with wild game, wild forage from the field to the table. Chef Lawton.
Yes. Well, I have a cool recipe I'm going to talk about today, and Cal said he has a recipe he's going to share, too.
Heck yeah.
And I think they're both venison recipes,
yeah,
right, Cal?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah. So, Cal, you want me to go first? You're going to go first.
You can go first.
Okay.
I got to remember mine.
You got to remember yours. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I made some braised venison with tomatillo and poblano peppers. So this is one of my go-to. Like if I have some venison roast in the freezer I need to get rid of, or I just need a quick, awesome, flavorful, healthy meal, I throw this one together. So I'm going to run down the ingredient list, which is very short, which I like to see.
Yes, I love short and easy.
And then we will post the measurements and the detailed instructions on the Facebook page so you guys can comment, follow along, make it. It's fantastic. So you will need a venison roast. Any kind will do, or you can swap out beef or whatever kind of roast you have at home. You can use it for this recipe. You need a tomatillo, just one, which is great. Onion, garlic, leeks, some Anaheim peppers, or you can swap out another pepper if you'd like. Poblano peppers, a little bit of white wine. So shout out to Megan Salad Bar, our wino.
We haven't called her that yet, but sure.
That's a new
not?
One. Chicken stock, lime juice, bay leaf, salt, and pepper. That's it.
All right. Well, so, tell us how to put it together because I'm already hungry.
Okay, very easy. So you're going to dice your onions, your leeks, and your garlic. Put those aside. Then you're going to get a nice hot pan with some oil in it. You're going to brown the venison roast on all sides or whatever roast you're using. Set that aside. Put those chopped veggies into your pot. Warm those up a little bit till your onions get about like translucent colored. You're going to add a little bit of white wine to that pan, deglaze it. So we've talked about that before. Deglazing the pan is adding a wine or a stock to the bottom of that pan to kind of scrape off all those good little chunks of butter or oil or onions, whatever you have in there. And then once that's done, you're going to throw your meat in. You're going to char a poblano pepper. So if you don't have a gas oven, what I like to do is I'll just put it in a really hot pan and char the sides of it. So that'll work too. So you're going to throw that into your pot. You're going to cover the meat with chicken stock and you're going to put that tomatillo in there, cover it, and let it simmer on low.
How long?
Till it's done, Joel.
What temperature are you looking for on the inside of it? Or is this one of those where it's going to start to fall apart?
It's going to start to fall apart. Now you can take it out. I've had it both ways. I've done it to like a medium, so like a 130.
Okay.
And I've also let it sit in there until it started to shred, and you can put that on top of some rice. It's so good. You can make nachos with it.
That sounds unbelievable.
So with this recipe, I always do this one particular side dish because I really love it, and it's called a sweet potato gratin. So it's just going to be sliced sweet potatoes layered in a casserole dish with some olive oil, some caramelized onions, and some cotija cheese. And it is fantastic.
Holy
with this
cow.
Dish. You have the peppers, the tomatillo, that you're going to have a really awesome stock or au jus, if you want to call it, with that meat. It's so good.
It sounds unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What I love about it is, and a lot of the recipes you talk about, is that they're not your traditional throw it in with butter and onions and be done, but they're just as simple as that, really.
I do a lot of basic recipes with just a couple different flavors. You know, the poblano peppers, a lot of people don't use them, and they're kind of a sleeper pepper, and they're awesome.
I love them. And, poblano is the pepper they make where they dip it in egg.
Chili relleno.
Chili relleno.
Yeah.
With that. Yes.
Yes.
And I love those peppers.
It's a great pepper. I
they
put them in my chili.
They have a very unassuming sweet taste to them as well.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And all these recipes, for the most part, it's all whole foods. I mean, it's
no doubt
field to table. It's wonderful. You can swap out the proteins. They're just fantastic.
Yes, this is
so.
Got
please
like
make
a
it.
Spanish
this is one
bent.
Of my. This is one of my favorites. So please give it a try when you see that recipe come up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Cal.
All right, Cal.
What do you have for us?
So I can't. I'll have to give you guys the specifics after.
Yeah.
But it's a venison tenderloin sandwich.
Okay.
So
bring we it like on. The sound
I had
of
some
that.
Sandwiches.
I had a brioche bun.
Yep.
And then I had lemon mayonnaise.
Ooh,
on the bottom.
Ooh. We like mayonnaise.
So you cook the steak, you know, in a frying pan, and then you baste it with, you know, some garlic butter.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then
cow.
Slice it up and then lay it on the sandwich. And then I caramelized some onions with some balsamic glaze.
Yeah.
Put that on top.
You're really coming to town today. Jeez.
Yeah. And then arugula on top of that, and then some more balsamic glaze, and it was
well, come
fantastic.
On. That sounds amazing.
Cow. Next time you come, you're bringing that.
I will.
I'm telling you.
I have plenty of venison
that.
Now. So yeah,
now
we
my
can
mouth
do that.
Is watering.
You need
that
to make it and send us a picture, and we'll post it on the Facebook
so
page
good.
Along
yeah.
with your deer.
Wow. Yeah, it's like one of my favorite things.
Make that, it and take a picture.
I have
for
not
sure.
had anything like that before, so I'm kind of really hungry now.
Well, I have to say, we have to have Cal back because not only did he talk great stuff about strategies for whitetail hunting, he also brought a recipe that impressed the official chef. So
Cal, I'm going to make that and let you know how it turns out. It sounds amazing.
That sounds great.
And Cal needs to come back so we can take some more knowledge out of his brain when it comes to rut. And I want to talk about waterfowl hunting in a future show.
We are going to do that. And I'm excited to say we're going to have another acclaimed chef on the show with us.
Oh, yeah.
Chef Jerry Garcia.
That's exciting.
The old tailgate tips guy from the Milwaukee Brewers. High school classmate of mine is coming on a future show as well. Danielle will be back next week. This is Raised in Wisconsin.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Siebertson. The continuing federal government shutdown is affecting some air travelers, says ABC's Morgan Norwood.
Weather and staffing shortages continue to cause travel disruptions and delays across the country. According to the FAA, nearly 50% of major air traffic control facilities are experiencing staffing shortages, and nearly 80% of air traffic controllers are out at New York area facilities.
There is a search for suspected shooters in Minneapolis. Police say one person was killed, two others injured overnight in the city's Dinkytown neighborhood. The police chief says officers responded to sounds of automatic gunfire near the University of Minnesota campus. Game 7 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays look for the first World Series title for them since 93. The Dodgers try to become the first team to win back-to-back championships in 25 years. Most Americans will set clocks back 1 hour before a Betty Bye tonight. Daylight savings time ends. This is ABC News.